Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Is it strange? I call you. How do you think that I might forget all love? It's radiating further away.
You're with the Priest, the Pom, and the Poof on the Spirit Lounge, the show that explores sexuality and spirituality for our community.
And good evening, it's the Spirit Lounge back once again, 9 till 10 every Monday night. And it's the three P's, we're reunited. Did you miss me?
Well, kind of. We haven't heard your voice for so long. Barely remember you.
Do I have to answer that? Of course we missed you, Bertie. Welcome back.
Please make that sound sincere.
Oh.
Now, I know for a fact, because I'd like to say, I'll do a little personal dedication. Hi, Stephen, if you're listening. Stephen is my new friend. I met him and his little dog called Patsy in the park a few weeks ago. And Stephen happened to be listening last Monday. He's become my little spy. And you weren't Oops. Being very nice to me last Monday.
I'm sure we were saying nice things, weren't we, Andrew?
We were saying nothing but nice things.
Now, we've got two other peas in the studio tonight, too.
Have we?
Oh, we're full of peas tonight.
We have Pete, our new podcaster.
And we have Monica, who's a psychologist.
Well, it's not.
See, it starts with a P.
It's not Ponica, is it? It's Monica.
Yeah, but it's still a P.
Oh,
you're
a
not
psychologist.
Bertie the Pom.
And by the way, I have another question for you. I know you want to tell everyone about what's on the show, but did you get Katie Lang on to interview?
Who? Who's she? I've gone off her in a big way. Unfortunately, no. We did ask, but we have not received.
I'm
her
sad
phone.
For you. You have
when,
been,
when is she in town?
She was playing last Saturday.
Oh, I missed it anyway.
I'm sad
so.
For you. You have been turned down by Katie Lang.
Well, no, she didn't know. I don't think the message was passed on. She would never have turned us down.
Katie Lang, if you're listening, please give us a call.
Yeah. Well, big thanks to Roundup. And tonight we are going to talk to Monica, who is a psychologist. And she has a very interesting resume that we're going to talk about a bit later. Also, Melissa Hughes from the Lord Smith Animal Hospital is going to bring to us a dog that we're not really sure what it is. A dog of the night. And Bertie's going to share with us some of her tales from Bali.
My travelling tales.
Now, if people want to join this conversation, Bertie, how do they do that?
Oh, yep, because I'm the one with the glasses on. You can SMS us on 0427JOY949, or you can phone us on 1300JOY949 and talk to Heath on the desk. Or if you're on email, it's onair@joy.org.au. So if you'd like to contribute to the show tonight, we would love to hear from you. And I think we're going to kick off with our first track. Who wants to introduce this? Because it's not my track.
It's a track by a beautiful New Zealand singer called Hayley Westenra, and it's called Heaven.
Far away,
And good evening. You're in Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Pom, and the Poof. And yes, we are all present and correct. And we have a special guest in the studio tonight who's Monica. And she's a senior psychologist and director of psychological resources in Sydney. She's also a clinical director of the New South Wales SES Critical Incident Stress Management Program. She's also a captain with the Australian Army Reserve Psychology Corps. And she's written and manages the new training program in accidental counselling for Australian Defence Force personnel. She also co-authored Responding to Critical Incidents in Schools. And in her spare time, which I'm not sure how she finds it, she's joined us on Spirit Lounge. Welcome, Monica.
Thank you.
Now, Monica, tell us a little bit about your work with New South Wales SES Critical Incident Stress Management Program.
I've been working with SES now since 2002 after working with the fire services in New South Wales, and the work is on two levels. On the one hand, I train and supervise a team of peers and chaplains, and on the other hand, I provide services and interventions to members around New South Wales after they've been exposed to potentially traumatic events.
So if they've gone out to an accident that is fatalities and it's messy and that sort of thing?
Exactly that kind of thing, where it's been recognised that one or more of those members have experienced undue distress, and our peers and chaplains feel that it's the kind of thing that might benefit from having a psychologist involved, then I get involved.
Wow, fascinating. Now, I have to say, before I ask you the next question, I quickly Googled you today and didn't quite get your name right. You see, I put in Monica Klein instead of Monica Kleinman. So what came up was Monica Lewinsky and then Calvin Klein. So I thought, oh, no, I've got that really wrong. So when I put in the right name, of course you came up at the top. But welcome.
So she's not the love child of Monica Lewinsky.
She's not the love child. No. Nor is she wearing Calvin Klein. Monica, welcome to the show. Now, what does your role as captain in the Australian Army involve?
Well, my official title is Staff Officer Grade 3, Organisational Health Headquarters Forces Command.
Gosh, that's some...
And it sounds really impressive. I'm not exactly sure I want to tell you what it is I do, because then they'll find out I don't really do a great thing.
Make it up.
I will make it up.
We do.
About a third of my work is providing post-operational psychological screening for personnel from headquarters who have returned from combat zones or from deployment overseas where we have serving personnel. A third of it is looking over documentation of policy and procedure to provide advice to command on how that might impact on mental health of soldiers. And a third of it is making sure I keep abreast of the latest research trends and policy with a view to analysing trends on data that we get hold of and trying to sort out how best to address needs that data raises.
Wow, gosh, busy. Because there's, I'm trying to remember the name, there's a sort of post-traumatic stress syndrome that soldiers can come back with, isn't there?
Disorder.
Well, post-traumatic stress disorder is at one end of a continuum of stress reactions. For the military, it tends to be looked at more in the context of combat stress and that continuum, but the same end point is still post-traumatic stress disorder.
Is that the most common thing that they come back with that they need help getting their head around?
It's the one that makes the media. PTSD is the one that makes it into the newspapers, but it's not necessarily the most common in that there isn't an expectation that an identifiable proportion, percentage or number of returning personnel will go on to develop that disorder. Mm-hmm. It's simply the growth industry disorder.
Good phrase.
So, Monica, you're also involved with the Red Cross, just because you've got nothing else to do. What do you do with them?
I don't do a great deal with the Red Cross, but what I do provide for them is that when their aid workers return from overseas missions, they are also provided the opportunity to do, on the one hand, an operational debrief of their mission, and on the other, a psychological debrief of their time overseas. And if that throws up any need for further ongoing care for their mental health, then I provide that.
That's amazing. There's a common thread running through these three roles that you've described. Are there any significant differences in those three actually quite different areas?
I think it's the similarity of the three groups of people that I work with rather than any differences. They are all responders in all three groups, in emergency services, in the military, and in the Red Cross. And for me, I consider it to be a privilege to be able to work with people that go to places where there's no way on God's earth I would want to or necessarily would be able to go.
Mm.
If you like, I'm what I consider to be an afterwards person.
Yeah.
So you don't actually go into the war zones or disaster areas?
I have been to disaster areas, places like Thredbo, for example. I have been asked to be prepared to go to war zones on deployment, but I've never actually been asked to go.
Mm.
I could be, and others like me have gone, but not I.
And do you find yourself, I'll use the word counselling, it's probably the wrong word, but do you find yourself lending assistance to the crisis helpers, or do you also find yourself helping the victims and survivors and the people at the sharp end who've suffered?
I don't work with the people on whom the disaster has impacted. I work with the people who respond
to
the disaster.
Yeah, yeah. Fascinating stuff. Well, we'll leave it there and we'll come back in a minute. What have we got next,
We're going
guys?
To go to a track that Monica picked.
Oh, we'll let Monica introduce this track. And why is this special to you?
I think because I find it soothing. I find it's a track that I can unwind with and to.
Mm.
It's gentle.
Mm. And it's Eva Cassidy and Fields of Gold.
It is.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with the three P's, the priest, the pom and the poof, all reunited again. And we have a wonderful guest in the studio tonight. We have Monica Kleinman with us, who is senior psychologist and a director of the Psychological Resources in Sydney. She's also with the New South Wales SES and the Australian Army. So we've been hearing all sorts of things. And Joy, will you stop whispering in the microphone? That's the priest whispering in the background. What were you saying?
I was telling him that I couldn't hear.
Well, I can't shout any louder.
No, you're right. It was my microphone that was the problem.
Right, technical hitches have been resolved. So we've been talking to Monica about all her different roles, which of course do have a great similarity. Now, talk to us about what spirituality means to you.
I find that a really, really difficult question to answer, but I'm going to give it a go. I think that as...
There's no right or wrong answer, by the way.
Well, I hope there's no test in the morning either. I think if we look at each one of us as a person, then we operate in 4+1 domains. We operate cognitively, we operate emotionally, we operate physically, we operate behaviourally. But I think all of those four domains require a fifth domain to make meaning of what is happening to us. And for me, it's that fifth domain that is the spiritual one.
Beautifully put.
So you'd consider yourself spiritual, obviously, by that reply?
I try.
I think we all try, don't we? Mm-hmm.
I don't claim to always be able to find the meaning.
Yeah. I think it's much about us all searching for meaning. And maybe we never find it. Completely.
No. And I don't know that there is a requirement to find the it.
Yeah.
I think there is a requirement to recognise the process of looking for it.
Yeah. And how about, because we've had many debates on this show that you don't have to be religious to be spiritual. How does religion fit into your life? Are you very religious and active, or is it passive? Or
I'm not a religious person at all. You notice the concept of a higher being didn't figure in my explanation of what spiritual meant to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do I have a religious affiliation? Yes, I do. Do I belong to a formal congregation? Yes, I do. Do I practice my religion as such? No, I don't.
Mm-hmm. So how does what you see in your work inform, affect, challenge your spirituality?
I think, like most people whose job requires them to regularly try to make meaning of horrendous stuff, stuff like multiple casualties or children dying or natural disasters, I think, and I've got to admit, I've completely forgotten the question.
How does what you see in your work inform, affect, or challenge?
I think, like most people that are confronted with that all the time, it does become difficult to be able to explain it to others, mm-hmm. so that they can accept it, and it's their words.
Mm.
That's the challenge for me, is to encourage other people to explore that fifth dimension, because often, and this is maybe more so for soldiers and emergency services personnel, it's that intangible that they can't measure, touch,
yeah,
or put in a box.
Yeah. Now, we were talking about the Army, and the US Defence Force's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy has been widely criticised. In fact, it was repealed this year after 20 years. By contrast, Australian gay and lesbian armed forces have been allowed to serve their country openly since 1992. Have you, in your role as a psychologist in the Army, counseled gay and lesbian personnel and who are struggling to integrate their sexuality and spirituality, or do they struggle with other things?
They struggle with a lot of things.
Is
and the answer is yes, I have worked with people with that particular struggle.
Yeah.
I don't know, however, that it's necessarily unique to members of the Defence Force.
I'm sure it's not. I'm sure it's not. But I suppose they've been under the microscope a little bit, haven't they, because of all the various shenanigans, actually more overseas than Australia-based. But
yes.
And what's the most common thing that they're challenged with?
Well, I guess, and I'm not working from a large sample here, what I have seen is that there are two pathways that need to become one pathway. And in particular for people who are gay, I haven't worked with lesbians, I've worked with males. There is the requirement, if they have come from a religious background or a religious family, to be able to reconcile, on the one hand, their gender identity with that teaching and learning that they've been inculcated with from childhood, and resolve the two different kinds of guilt that they seem to experience. On the one hand, the guilt that they experience because they're gay and God doesn't like that informal religion that they've been taught. And then because that makes them angry at their God, they then feel guilty for being angry at God.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does, and we hear it often.
Yeah,
from many people.
I can't work with the latter. I can only work with the sexual identity side of things. And the way I choose to do that is to try to encourage and assist those individuals to come to terms with the sexual identity, so that regardless of whether God is ever going to accept them in their own minds, but more importantly and more likely in the minds of their significant others, they need to accept who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And value and learn to revalue who they are.
Yeah.
I think it's great that at least they have someone that they can come and talk to that is open and accepting of them. I think we need to go on to our next track, and we need to say thank you, Monica, very much for coming in and talking with us tonight.
My pleasure, and I can tick this off my never done before things.
I hope it's not never do again thing.
Well, you did it very well. Standing in the room. Good evening. You're on the Spirit Lounge with the three P's, the priest, the pom, and the poof. And it's now time to bring back a lady who's joined us in the studio previously, but we've got her on the line. Melissa Hughes, who is in charge of marketing and PR and fundraising for the Lord Smith Animal Hospital. Good evening, Melissa.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're very well. And you?
I'm very well.
Great. Well, it's lovely to have you back on the show, and we're going to try and make this a regular spot. Tell us what's going on. Who's up for adoption this week?
Well, this week we've got Harley. I've picked him because he's been one of our dogs that's been with us the longest. He's just gone back from our foster program, which means is that we have people who volunteer their time to care for our animals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a variety of reasons. For Harley's reason, he's been with us for a while, so he just needed a bit of a break out of the shelter environment.
Now, you said to me that Harley was a Staffy, but when I saw the photo, he looks like a Jack Russell.
Well, we think he's a mix between the two. he's definitely a little dog. He's 3.5 years old. He's definitely steady.
I think we'll have to come back to Melissa in a moment, actually. The line is failing us a little bit. Let's just go and have some more music while we try and rescue the mobile phone line. Andrew, what have you got next to play?
We've got a track from Duffy.
Okay, and this is called Mercy.
And you're on Spirit Lounge with the priest, the palm, and the poof. And we are talking to Melissa Hughes.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that earlier. We had a few technical problems. We've got Melissa with us from the Lord Smith Animal Hospital. Hi, Melissa, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Now, Melissa, we had a vote here, and I think it was 4-0 that it's Jack Russell.
Well, appearances can be deceiving, but...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so... We are surprised when we get told by the previous owner what the breed is. Like, there's no, like, we can always do, there are genetic tests out there that can confirm breeds, but, sometimes you are surprised to see what appearance of a dog is, and I have dogs, and you would think it'd be one kind of breed, but it turns out to be slightly different. So,
and we're talking about Harley now. Harley is a, we think, a Jack Russell Staffy cross, and he's 3.5 years old. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And do you know any history about his past at all? Why is he a rescue?
He was surrendered to us because his owner just didn't have the time. Also, they had to move. There was financial difficulty, and they had to move to a place which was more affordable for them, which meant that they just couldn't find a place that was big enough for him.
So what would be the right kind of home for Harley, Melissa?
Well, because he is quite young, he needs it's more about a family with that doesn't have a dog already, because he craves attention. He's quite loyal.
Mm-hmm.
And so, he's quite a dominant dog, so it would be ideal for him to have a family that didn't have a dog already and has the time and energy to train him and socialise him.
So does he have any bad habits we should know about? We won't tell anyone else, just us.
Well, it's not a bad habit. It's really adorable, but he does tend to get really energetic, and he can get jumpy. And if you're not disciplined... don't know how to discipline, like, a dog that is really hyper, he can be hard to control when you take him out for walks and so forth.
Cause so he's...
We don't want him to run away because he's getting too excited to go out for a walk and so forth. So that's why it's really important for the training aspect of it. But
so he's really acting like a Jack Russell.
He is, isn't
yeah.
he? So if anyone's listening and you're thinking about getting a dog, then Harley is up for grabs, 3.5 years old, lots of energy, so needs to probably be the only dog in the household, and you need to probably have had some experience of dogs before to be the pack leader, because I think he needs some discipline, doesn't he?
Yes.
And Melissa, anything else you'd like to share with us tonight? Are there any fundraising events coming up?
Yes, actually, this Sunday we've got our Pancake Brekkie, which is part of our Party for Pets fundraiser, and it's at Treasury Garden from 10 till 12, and we have our ambassador, Tyson Goldsack, who's going to be there with his two dogs, Art and Jeff.
Fantastic. So if our listeners want to know more about the weekend or to see a picture of Harley, what is the website address?
MaudSmith.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming back on the show. It's really good to chat with you again.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Our next track is by our Artist of the Month, Andy Sorensen, who, yes, if you were listening last week, you would have heard us actually talking to him, and he is Australian, and this is the song Cloudburst. And you were the priest, the prom, and the poof. Yes, and that is Bertie, Joy, and Andrew. Now, Bertie, you've been missing for the last 2 weeks.
Lost in action.
Tell us where you went and what you discovered while you went there.
I went to Singapore, and then I went on to Bali, which was all very interesting. Singapore was great. I mean, I was working in Singapore, so it was full on. But I did have a personal pilgrimage in Singapore because my great aunt, so my maternal grandmother's sister, you following?
Yes, I'm following. I've got the family tree out. I'm drawing it right as you speak. Yes.
My great aunt was a POW in Changi Jail.
Oh, wow.
When the Japs hit Pearl Harbor. And she was captured at the age of 28. She was a nurse out in Singapore. And I'd never been to Singapore, so I'd never had the chance to go to Changi Museum and Chapel, which sadly is no longer on the original site of the original chapel, but they kind of picked it up and moved it somewhere else. And it was she was an amazing woman, and she actually met her future husband there, who Robert, my great uncle, who was working on the Burma Railway, known as the Death Railway for obvious reasons, and they both survived, and they both got out and escaped, and even managed to have a son eventually. But my aunt was 6 foot tall. She was a very tall lady, and she weighed under 5 stone when she got out of wow. prison. And this museum was amazing. It showed an actual cell, you know, that they would have been in, and just the concrete bed, and you pee in the corner, and there's a window, but it's like 8 foot high, so you can't see out, and it's tiny. And you know what they lived on, just rice, excuse me, and fish and rice and fish and rice and fish, and how these people survived is extraordinary. And I think the one thing that I had underestimated from all of her stories, because of course she wasn't going to tell us everything, was the level of torture and how evil the Japanese actually were. And that really was quite spine-chilling, I have to be honest.
It's interesting you talk about this, because I actually recently read a book by an English crime writer called Peter Robinson, mm-hmm. and he sets this book about around a murder, but you look at the history of this woman who murdered her husband, she was a nurse, mm. and she was in Singapore mm. when the Japanese... So there's, mm-hmm. you know, even though it's a novel, there's actually a lot of history in it. Mm. And it actually inspired me to go and buy a book about nurses in the Australian Defence Force mm-hmm. and how they were treated in Singapore.
Yeah.
It's pretty awful.
Oh, no, it was grim. And very first wall that you see when you walk in is acknowledging all the different armies from the different countries that were there. And obviously there was lots of Australians, lots of Brits, Canadians, Malays, Singaporeans and so on. So quite an emotional afternoon, and it was sort of closure for me as well, and I just wanted to pay my respects more than anything. So that was very special little pilgrimage for me. And I also, because of the program, I started to do a little bit of research, and I was talking to some local people, and Singapore's interesting because it's so multicultural, multiracial, and of course multi-religious, and there are about 10 religions which is recognized in Singapore, but the main one is Buddhism and this Taoism, which we'll come on to in a minute because I'd never heard of Taoism. Islam, Hinduism and Christianity are the principal religions, but this Taoism and Confucianisms as well, which obviously is from Confucius. But I had a look at Taoism, and followers of the Tao means the way. So followers of the way adhere to the teachings of the ancient Chinese religious philosophy of Lao Tzu, the founder of Taoism. They focus on the life after death theory and the balance of the two cosmos energies, which are depicted through yin and yang, which obviously come up. And I never realized yin and yang was from the Tao religion. Feng Shui, which we've talked about on the program before, literally translated as wind and water, that also originated from the Taos as well. But it's deeply rooted in ancestral worshipping and that seeks to harmonise the spirits and souls between the living, which is the yang, and the dead, which is the yin. Did you know that?
No.
I know. It's fascinating, isn't it? So that lots of ancestral worship, common practice. They pray in memory of their bereaved loved ones, and the spirits of the dead are honoured with regular offerings of food and beverage and joss sticks and incense. The problem is they put all this stuff out on the pavements and stuff like that, and all the dogs eat it.
So they don't actually have a temple. They actually...
They do. It's a bit like the Balinese. Some of them do have, they go to temples or they have temples in their garden. It depends, you know, because Singapore's full of apartments. But if they're wealthy enough to have houses and gardens, they have their own temples.
Okay.
So they put stuff out. But there's a great connection with Taoism and Buddhism, of course. These two religions have traditionally enjoyed quite a peaceful sort of coexistence. And then Confucianism as well is a Chinese ethical and philosophical system developed from the teachings of the Chinese philosopher Confucius. And it originated as an ethical socio-political teaching. But the core is humanism, the belief that human beings are teachable, improvable and perfectible through personal and communal endeavor, especially including self-cultivation and self-creation. So this humanism, Confucius obviously preached that we can all better ourselves in every single way in life. And so there's a following. It's small, but there's people that follow that too.
We used to hear people say Confucius says.
I know. Well, it's almost.
I mean, they made up what Confucius says, I'm sure. But you know, anything
it's inside your Christmas cracker,
yeah,
isn't it?
Exactly. You know? Confucius says thou shalt not have Christmas pudding.
But Singapore was interesting, and then I went on to Bali, which I mean, I personally didn't like Bali. I think it's been trashed by tourism, which is very sad. I'm sure 30 years ago it was gorgeous, but they're mainly Hindu there, and the other 20%, that's about 80%, and the rest are made up of Christian, Buddhist, Muslims. But the Indonesian government are a funny lot. I mean, we know that anyway. But they only recognise 5 official religions. So that's Catholic and Protestant, Christianity, Islam, Hindu, Buddhism, Confucianism. But lots of other Indonesians practice, like, you know, different religions or religious beliefs. But they're not officially recognised. And the state has said everyone's expected to adopt a particular religion. And people who've not adopted a religion or who are atheists are breaking the law.
So you're only allowed to adopt one off the list.
You've got to follow one of the religions on the list, and if you don't, you know, you're outlawed, which is a load of old, I mean, goodness. So local religious leaders and academics have responded by saying, you know, adopting any particular religious belief is something, it's really a personal thing, and you can't just choose off a short list. You know, there should be some freedom going on here. And in fact, Interfaith over there are really driving this forward and demanding that the government comes up, you know, with a bill that at least gives people the freedom to practice whatever faith they want. So, yeah, it's all a bit of a mess. But on a lighter note, I know we're a bit pushed for time, but just one last thing. We had a corridor driver for a day to take us out to show us around, and we passed this funeral. And the driver was saying that everyone's cremated because they believe in reincarnation. And so the funeral party we saw were heading to the beach because they always throw all the ashes into the sea. And we were giggling in the car saying, you know, well, what would you come back as? And he said, be careful, don't joke about this. If you have bad karma, you come back as a dog. And if you have good karma and you've been a good person, you can come back as a person or as a god.
Do they eat dogs?
Well, there's a lot of stray dogs running around in Bali. Mm. Pretty mangy thing. I mean, pretty mangy dogs. But they're clearly not looked after at all, and, you know, dogs aren't respected. So if you've been bad, you come back as a dog.
So you didn't go to the jail and visit all the Australians in there?
No, I didn't. Nor did I buy any ganja off the street, darling. But that was an interesting trip. Bali's not for me. I think I was too late to see the beauty of Bali. But I know that in the middle of winter, I'll probably want some heat and I'll probably go back. But
It's never been a place that I've been tempted to go. But I believe if you go outside of the main tourist areas, it is still quite beautiful.
I think you need to get up to the north and the northwest to really see the beauty that's still there. But there are many other places in Asia, I think, which are very beautiful that I'll be going to next. So anyway, that's my traveller's tales for this week.
Well, there you go. And tonight you've heard us talk to Monica. You've heard about the dog of the... I wonder what that dog did wrong. to come back, not just as a dog, but at the Lord Smith Hospital.
It was obviously a
stray one.
It was a bad person in its last life. And have we got some Victoria Interfaith Youth Forum to talk about?
Yeah, so there's an upcoming event, the Victorian Interfaith Youth Forum. It's coming up on Sunday the 27th of November. It's in the evening from 5 o'clock. It's in St Kilda at the Town Hall, which is on Carlisle Street. If you'd like more information, head over to interaction.org.au.
And we've had SMS in from Pete from Darley Backers Marsh. Great show, guys. Thank you, Pete. And I think Pete's got a request, hasn't he?
We do. Yes. Yes. It's here. I wrote it down.
It's Josie Greenwell with My Life on the Radio.
And
here it is.
We'll see you all next week.
Goodbye.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.